There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, 855-99-37569. Well, I have two sort of interesting stories, one of which, I'll tell you the first one first, because then we can kind of talk about it. They finally figured out why knuckles crack. Are you a knuckle cracker?
I am, yes.
Right. What I wanted to put up on Facebook was what habits do people have that irritate you the most? And I would say knuckle cracking is pretty high up on that. It's not as bad as nose picking, but I don't know. Right. It turns out, do you know why your knuckles crack?
I always thought it had something to do with there being air.
Basically,
in between the joints.
Apparently, that's correct.
Okay.
They actually did an MRI, which is a little extreme, pulling on somebody's finger. It said that it's a formation of a gas-filled bubble, so it's not actually air.
Right.
And you know, your first name is gas, right? Which we were talking about another problem later last week, but never mind. Gas-filled bubble created by a drop in pressure when the joints are separated. The bubble comes in the fluid that lubricates the joint. Okay.
Okay.
They said if you've ever washed up glass plates, you know how hard they can be to separate once they're wet. The film of water between them creates a tension that needs to be overcome. It's similar with joints. When you pull on them, they resist at first, and they suddenly give way. He says he started the study after a local chiropractor who served as their champion knuckle cracker approached him with a theory. The researcher, an expert in spinal structure, says the findings could help explain the cause of joint problems and help doctors to stop them before they begin. So there you go. That's pretty interesting that we now know something that irritates everybody. Now we have an explanation about why it's irritating. It all has to do with the gas. No, it doesn't. All right. Here was a story that I think was from yesterday, which we didn't get to. And this one's pretty exciting, or at least potentially exciting, that it's a whole different look at Alzheimer's, which, as we know, is getting to be more and more of a problem as the population ages. And they found, now this only happened in mice, but that's where all experiments basically are done on one of two populations, either mice or undergraduates, and you don't really want to be experimenting with undergraduate brains. And all the possibilities for making a joke of that are going to be squelched at this moment. It turns out if you block immune cells from breaking down arginine, they were able to stop the mice's immune system from attacking nutrients. Who knew? So what they're now looking at Alzheimer's as being is an inflammatory response, which... I was looking at something in a magazine, and it said that basically that stress, which jazzes up your immune response, has systemic effects on almost every organ in the body. So, but it's a completely different approach to Alzheimer's than they had before. Mice who underwent the treatment did better on memory tests. So they're talking about providing the same drug, which is difluoromethylorthanine, to older mice with advanced Alzheimer's to see if it affects their condition. So the idea is if you block the process of the amino acid deprivation, you can protect the mouse from Alzheimer's. The question is what will happen in human beings. But it's thinking about Alzheimer's in a completely different way. So there you go. Pretty interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We love stuff like that. I like that it's a different approach. That because people have been kind of messing with the same approach for a long period of time. And for a long period of time, the way that people diagnosed Alzheimer's was at autopsy. That was before they did CAT scans. And they're called pathognomonic, which means that this particular situation is attributable to only one cause. And it's called boxcar ventricles. And what happens is the brain essentially dehydrates And so the idea is that instead of the brain looking like the sort of little sinus cavities that we usually see, that you get boxcars because the brain has shrunk so much. Not a happy thing to see. They've also got snoring and apnea linked to earlier memory decline in elderly. But I don't know anybody who doesn't snore. Do you?
I do, although I've...
You snore or you know people who don't snore?
I do snore.
I'm just going to say, baby snore. I don't know anybody who doesn't snore. There's just some people actually stop breathing.
Right.
And they're saying that people who have sleep apnea, which is not the same as snoring, which can be marked by heavy snoring. See, that's a different kind of thing. That the question is, do you snore? Do you have sleep apnea? Because they're not the same.
So snoring can be a characteristic of sleep apnea, but just because you snore,
they're not the same thing.
Right, but just because you snore does not mean that you
exactly
have sleep apnea.
Exactly so. Because one car is red, because the VW is red, doesn't mean all cars are red or all VWs are red.
Gotcha.
So yeah, exactly. And that's the problem about science and what people, because babies snore. Everybody I know snores. Everybody snores when they have a cold. And part of it depends on position, but the idea of stopping breathing, and you could understand why that would affect your brain, because there's no oxygen coming in at that moment. They experience cognitive decline 10 years earlier than those without the disorder, or those who use a breathing machine to treat their apnea.
Hmm.
We didn't find that snoring causes dementia. We found that those people that reported they had sleep apnea and were not treating it, the age of decline was earlier. But, again, that's one of those things that you may have sleep apnea. The major cause of sleep apnea that I know of is being overweight. And obviously, if you're overweight, you're going to have all sorts of deterioration.
Mm-hmm.
Those with obstructed sleep breathing, which is not the same, experience mental loss at the age of 77 as compared to age 90 for those without breathing problems. They looked at 2,500 people, 55 to 90, who were enrolled in a previous Alzheimer's disease study and evaluated every 6 months. Participants self-reported the diagnosis of sleep apnea, so this is already very flawed, or obstructive sleep apnea, and whether they used a continuous positive airway pressure machine at night. People would go on to have mild cognitive impairment of Alzheimer's, tended to first show signs of memory decline earlier if they had sleep-disordered breathing that was untreated. See, first of all, it's self-reported, so you really don't know what's going on. It affects 53% of men and more than 26% of women. See, my guess is that that is not accurate. It's that the amount of snoring and the degree of snoring is, men make more noise. So,
mm-hmm.
Sleep apnea, as we understand it, most people think only affects males and they are obese and snore in middle age, but it's much more common in late life. Late life sleep apnea is under-recognized and under-diagnosed. They did not establish cause and effect. See, this is the really important part. And Alzheimer's disease itself can cause sleep problems. But if the sleep issues do lead to cognitive decline, it could be due to oxygen deprivation or to sleep fragmentation, which is what I just said. Apnea produces arousals and wake you up so you don't get nice restorative sleep. See, this is a very flawed study. It's interesting, but it's flawed. So there we go. But, I mean, the point is that we're beginning to look at things in a different way. And I think that if you haven't found answers by looking at it, think outside the box. Think outside the pillow. There you go. There one more story that just sort of fascinates me, and then we'll sort of talk about some stuff that hopefully you guys are interested in. But you know I'm the queen of trivia. I love this kind of stuff. They're saying that why human beings have chins as opposed to monkeys, which don't. It doesn't come from mechanical forces such as chewing, but results from an evolutionary adaptation involving face size and shape. I don't know how we figured this out. I mean, what does this mean? This is like taking a bone fragment and say this person was monotheistic and, you know, and had multiple wives. There's just no way of telling. They're saying that the chin's emergence arose from simple geometry. As faces became smaller, our faces are 15% shorter than Neanderthals, the chin became a bony prominence, the adapted pointy elbow of the bottom of our face. Please, let's all go to sleep on that. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, 855-99-375, whatever this is on your mind is what we will chat about here. Look forward to hearing from you and talking with you. Okay, we did a story earlier this week about the fact that in the UK, they did a study of 15-year-olds, which is an interesting age, isn't it? Not necessarily a lovely age, but an interesting age. And to see how exposure to films, and specifically with people drinking alcohol, affected their perceptions and their behavior about alcohol intake. Now, in UK, obviously, alcohol is not legal for 15-year-olds to drink in any public way any more than it is here. And what they found is the more drinking that there was in the film, the more likely kids were to drink, which is not very surprising. But I thought, so it's generated two thoughts, and we'll do with the first one now, which is reminding of the first time that that you had alcohol. Do you remember it? Do you remember, Manny?
I think I was 19. I took a sip of a wine cooler.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I didn't have any problems. You know, I didn't like dislike the taste or anything like that. It was fine. I didn't, you know. But
do you what's your drinking pattern? Do you drink very much? I mean,
not
no
really.
One's going to say yes, but
no. I mean, I typically the only time I'll have any sort of alcohol is if I'm, you know, out with friends or if I'm, you know, at a ball game or something, which is interesting because yesterday at the Twins game, I did not have. Usually, if I go to a Twins game, I'll have a beer or something. And
you were with a 7-year-old.
Yeah, I was with my nephew, and you know, I just decided I'm not gonna drink alcohol in front of my 7-year-old nephew when I'm kind of enjoying my time with him, and you know.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
I just had water.
Amen. Amen. So I'm trying to remember. I think. I vaguely remember being a very, very, very young child, like maybe 3. And my parents, I remember the term highball. I don't think people even use that term, although I think it may have come back again. And they had these special glasses. And I vaguely remember wandering, toddling around, and people had left. You know, no one had cleaned out. My mother was not a great housekeeper. And so there was leftover drinks, you know, with the ice melted, and taking a sip of something and just thinking it tasted terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I vaguely remember
that was the first time I had beer. That was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, oh, this is disgusting. But now I love it.
These were highballs. So I think they were maybe my father drank scotch. My mother, I don't know what my mother drank. I think ginger and. Bourbon, I think. I think mom drank bourbon. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the family is. My father was the biggest drinker, and he wasn't much of a drinker. So it was. And then I remember when I was 16, I went on an archaeology dig to France, and we weren't allowed. All of it. Coca-Cola was very expensive, so we all would start drinking wine, because it was in France and it was the local whatever the local wine was. And sort of developing a bit of a taste for wine. And then the following summer, I was in Washington State doing salvage archaeology, and somebody had some homebrew. And I remember passing out. I'd had about 4 sips, and I passed out. And literally, you drink it out of a mason jar. And I didn't drink very much. I am not a drinker, as you can hear. So my experience with alcohol was never... In fact, one of the things that that I learned, because when I was working for the Boston Redevelopment Authority in Boston, is how people describe their first experience with alcohol. Quite often, it's the only the people who describe their first experience with alcohol the same way other people describe their first experience with sex means that you may have a predisposition to alcoholism, which is a very interesting thing if you're a psychologist, because family history, yeah. Somewhat predictive, but your first experience with alcohol very likely at least predisposes you to the sense that this is something, because people who have problems with alcohol describe their first experiences with alcohol completely differently than everybody else, which is part of why I put the question up to see whether or not that's going to hold true on this one and to serve as kind of an early warning sign or hopefully early warning sign. So let's hear what people said their first response to alcohol was.
We'll start with Tony, and she says, I hated the taste and still do.
Okay, well, that's certainly you go, girl, or not go.
Becky says, I do not drink. I tried wine many years ago, and I just don't like the alcohol taste. It tastes like nail polish remover. I can't understand anyone liking it.
Well, I hear what you're saying. And my drink of choice, well, my drink of choice if I drink anything is Prosecco. Oh, because I really like bubbles. I like bubbles. I like seltzer. I like bubbles. But when I was a kid, I remember drinking Mai Tai at one point because I thought that they tasted delicious. But that's just sugar. I mean, there's a lot of sugar and alcohol. But that, I mean, people who really like drinks don't drink things like Mai Tai. It's a girl drink. All right, keep going.
Antonio says, at my summer job when I was 18, I noticed the cook had a lot of orange juice every lunch. One day I asked her why. She then said, I'll show you. And then went behind the bar, poured some vodka and orange juice in a glass, and handed it to me. Here, it's called a screwdriver, she said. I felt a little buzz, and, well, that's where it all began.
So the question is, do you have, I mean, I would love to have this person call me and say, okay, so you can hear your first experience with alcohol is very different than Manny's and mine and the several people who preceded you. So the question is there, do you have a problem with alcohol? It'd be an interesting question or an interesting answer. All right, keep going.
Linda said, her first experience, she said, landed me in the ER, one Ooh. Can of beer.
Wow. That's really unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if somebody spiked it with something.
Hmm. Dana says, 5 years old with a beer that daddy gave me on a trip to put me to sleep. Oops. Can't stand the taste of it now.
See, you can hear. You can hear the difference between that one response and everybody else's.
Vicky,
go ahead.
Vicky just says, it was nasty. Francis says, Thanksgiving dinner, I was about 9 or 10, and the adults had a glass of wine. I was allowed to have a sip. Yuck, I hated it. Never really drank much, even in those crazy teen years.
See, this is holding up my theory.
Deborah says, my mother remarried, and we moved to a close-by town. I was in second grade, and they would entertain, and I remember the cocktail service. Serviced grasshopper. A grasshopper is a sweet mint-flavored mm-hmm. after-dinner drink.
Prom de mint, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The name of the drink is derived from its green color, which is provided by the cran.
Prom de mint.
Okay, thank you. Nothing mm-hmm. much happened because the liquor was so sweet and I had so little. I didn't want to get caught, curious because of the color green and name. Today, I don't care for liquor or cocktails.
You hear. This holds up my theory. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS, 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Have a question? Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Hi, Dr. Joy. This is Ray from, well, I'm out in Geneva, Ohio. My wife's got a lot of guilt about her brother who just passed away, and I told her there was nothing she could have done. He had a massive heart attack and while he was in his recliner, and it's more involved than that. He had a drinking problem, and you mentioned drinking earlier on your show, so I just wanted to, she feels guilty that she hadn't been over to his house to see it. She saw it after he died, and it was a mess. He was retired, financially set. He became a recluse 10 years ago. His wife died of a massive heart attack, and he never got over it. His sons were all grown up and out of the house, so he kind of stayed by himself. And in the last few years, we couldn't even get him to go out and go anywhere. And I don't think his he would have let my wife go over there anyway to see his house the way it was.
Ray, how old was your brother-in-law?
He was 60.
When did he die?
Oh, about a month ago.
Okay. And how long was it before they discovered the body?
But this is the sad part. My wife was at the hospital with her other brother, who was 3 years older, 4 years older, because he was having problems, and he ended up having a massive a stroke, and he's still in the hospital. And I called Bobby to let him know that he his brother had a stroke, and I couldn't get hold of him, so I had a, well, the police, I had a welfare check. The police broke in, and they found him laying in his chair dead.
And how long had he been gone, do you know?
About a day. About a day. I kept in touch with him all the time. Bobby used to, by phone at least.
Yeah.
But she feels guilty that she didn't go over there and she should have saw his house.
I'll tell you what, Ray, I'll tell you what you can do. I assume the question to me is how do you make her feel less guilty? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. How old is your wife?
56.
And how many kids were there in the family? They're just the three?
In my family or his?
In your wife's family?
Three, and they're all grown up.
Okay, so there was the two brothers and your wife, right?
Yeah, well, there was three brothers. The other oldest brother died about 10 years ago.
Okay. And how old was he when he died?
Late 50s. He died of alcohol drinking, too.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think, all right, so how do you deal with your wife about this? It sounds like is she the youngest and the only girl?
Yes, she's okay. The youngest. She's a nurse. She's also got a degree in business management.
All right, I'll tell you what I would do.
All this other
stuff. Saying to her, look, there was nothing you could do, she's not going to feel okay about that. I think what I would say to her is, look, if you really want to do something, then you can't do anything for your brother, but you might be able to do something in educating other people and educating other families of how do you deal with somebody who's depressed, who's drinking, who's isolating themselves. And so instead of saying there's something you can do, which won't make her feel any better at all, that she can turn that guilt as well as, you know, as much as anything into something that's productive in his name, that maybe they start up a program in his name or maybe in the family's name to educate
kids. We did that when his first wife died. We give she and her brother, well, my wife and I and her brother gave an award out to a high school, you know, like a scholarship award,
right,
or, you know, for a drama class because she was in the drama, his first wife. And that's what we did for her. So maybe we just ought to carry that on.
Yeah, maybe that's what you do. And maybe part of it has education involved with it, Ray, is maybe it's an outreach program that maybe the visiting nurse, maybe you sort of make a contribution to the visiting nurse in his name where so that they go and visit people, that there's a number that people can call to say, you know, can you go visit my brother? Or maybe there is a community program, or maybe there's a church that gets involved in visiting. You know, we're talking today about City Harvest, and there's also things like Wheels on Meals, or Meals on Wheels, which specifically brings food to people who are housebound. And sometimes they're housebound because they're poor or that they're disabled, but sometimes they're housebound because they're recluses, because they have emotional issues. So rather than saying to your wife, look, there's nothing you can do, which is probably true, but not very helpful, what you might be able to say to her is exactly as you say. I mean, I could hear in your voice that sort of gave you a little bit of an oomph, a little bit of hope there, that we did this for his wife. Maybe we do this for him. Maybe we sort of endow something in his name, or maybe we do community education, or maybe we pick something that was particularly near and dear to him.
She is making sure that his three sons get every penny they got coming to them, and she's keeping in contact with them constantly. And
well, I think that's good, but she may want to do something in his memory and his name as well.
Well, she is spending an awful lot of time at the hospital with her brother, who's still trying to recover, and it's touch and go right now. But we've got him what we consider the best hospital in the area, which is Cleveland Clinic. So.
Okay, well, and maybe, you know, give her a call and say, you know, I was just talking to Joy about it, and this is, you know, what would you think of this idea? And I think that may really help her, Ray, and I think that's a level of understanding and support from you that I'm sure she'll appreciate.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Susan, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Joy. It's wonderful to talk with you.
Well, thanks, Susan. How might I help you?
My question is, should I ask somebody directly about an event coming up? It's my sister-in-law.
Right.
Or should I just let it go and
All right, what's the event?
The event is a first communion.
Okay.
And it's very informal as far as the after party.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, or my concern is that I try to communicate with my sister-in-law, and I through email or a phone message, and I never get a response.
All right, let me ask you. I mean, there would be, it would seem to me, two reasons to try and get in touch with her directly. One is because you actually need to know, for example, for a head count for lunch. If not, you know, if it's an open house or a buffet or something, then you don't care as much. If it's to chastise her, I probably wouldn't get in touch. If it's to give her the sense that you're really interested in her coming and, you know, she's busy. But, I mean, I don't know about, I mean, some people think email is the best thing to sliced bread, and some people are just irritated by it. So was the invitation issued on email?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just give you the kind of, again, for some people, email is the way to go. Some of us are not crazy about invitations on email, that we figure if it's something, especially that requires a gift, that we want either something in writing or a phone call or something a little more personalized. So maybe it's that. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Those of us, we're not exactly Luddites. We sort of grew up on Emily Post. And I mean,
you know what? That makes absolute sense.
Okay, good.
All right, thank you so much.
So, yeah, I would just give her a call and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry it's taken so long. I just did the email blast, but I just want you to know you're specially invited. Love to know if you're coming. Yeah, I mean, the idea is that I know everybody loves, like, the e-cards. They drive me absolutely nuts. I mean, at least there's somebody sending you a card. I mean, in the old days, it used to be, wow, you couldn't take the time to write a note. You'd have to go buy a card. But at least a card implies some kind of attention to detail. Going to a store, picking out the card, addressing it, putting a stamp on it, as opposed to an email, which quite often has, or an e-card. I mean, the advantage, I suppose, about an e-card is that they're going to minimize the misspellings. But, I mean, presumably, I mean, I'd certainly rather a phone call. And I understand, if it's a professional relationship, even then, it's a way of saying, it's a group mailing. You don't really count very much. I don't really care if you come. And I don't know that that's the intent, but I mean, don't you feel differently if you get an email invitation from somebody that somebody either sends you an invitation or gives a call or whatever? I just think that it's a very impersonal way of inviting somebody. I mean, hence email blasts, right? That goes to a huge long list of people. And the evites, I don't know, they just don't really do it for me. Although, who knows? I mean, I can remember arguing with somebody 10 years ago about how impersonal email was, and now I mean, everybody uses it. And I can remember arguing with somebody a year ago about, look, instead of texting me, you know, send me an email or pick up the phone. So I suppose part of it is just what's familiar and what's unfamiliar. Because I just hesitate to... I guess the end of civilization as we know it, when people really accept evites as honest to goodness, okay, I really want you to come, as opposed to, come, don't come, I don't care. I suppose they'll start giving us e-food as well, right? Or bring your own food. I've told that story before. At one point, somebody called and said, I'm having a party, can you come? And my friend said, oh, yeah, well, great. And they said, could you bring a main dish for eight? If I were going to do a main dish for eight, I'd have my own party. But I don't know. People are entertaining much less now than they used to. And dinner parties, I think cooking is almost getting to be a thing of the past. That actually a home-cooked meal. I remember going to a big party that they had for me, when, believe it or not, when I was in Hollywood in L.A. And they made mashed potatoes and pork chops. Everybody thought that was just the most festive thing because everybody ate at restaurants. And I agreed. I thought it was lovely that people would actually go to the trouble. I think their maid did it, but I don't care. Look, what can I tell you? I'm an old-fashioned kind of girl. 855-99-37569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY. So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
For Life with Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Alrighty, well, we're talking about something that concerns a huge amount of people. It started because there was a new study that was done in the UK about the effect that drinking in movies has on 15-year-olds' drinking behavior. And not surprisingly, said that the more kids are exposed to drinking behavior, the more likely they are to drink. Which isn't surprising. I mean, think about what advertising is really trying to convince you to do, right? And so, and I think part of the gist, the thrust of the research in the UK was trying to convince movie companies to have a different way of evaluating movies for teenagers, because right now the ratings are specifically on the basis of sexual content as opposed to violence, as opposed to, I mean, sometimes language, but basically it's sex as opposed to either negative behaviors, unpunished sins or crimes, I suppose, and violence. So it's a legitimate point, I think, especially since we know that teenage boys are the primary focus for an awful lot of movies. And as Manny and I were sort of gnashing our teeth and thinking, oh my gosh, what's happening to present generation? If you looked at Fast and Furious 7, the idea of aberrant behavior in teenagers, I mean, when you're talking about, at least in Fast and Furious, I don't think there's much drinking. I'm trying to remember if there's any drinking at all in it. I don't think so.
I don't remember.
I think they're pretty good about not making drinking and driving an issue. It's just incredibly dangerous driving.
Yeah.
And in Fast and Furious, which is probably, I'll review movies for you probably next hour. It very well may be the number one movie again. It was the number one movie for 2 weeks. And it's got some great stunts in it. It really does. There's no plot. Look, Fast and Furious 7, you're not going to see Shakespeare. But it's got some, it's very violent.
The plot
it's
is
very noisy.
Diesel fights bad guys. It's the same plot as all the previous ones.
And takes steroids.
But it was fun, and it was, you know, it was entertaining.
It was entertaining, and it goes fast. It's very noisy. You may need earplugs.
Yeah.
And it's very chauvinistic. I mean, the women are either screaming or showing their buns or both at the same time. You know, some of them are incredibly talented and could do both at the same time. But the problem is that it does show some pretty dangerous behavior. But the stunts, I mean, are just remarkable. And you're not going to try any of them at home.
Of course not.
All right, so let's go back. So the idea was we asked people about drinking behavior, and you guys are doing your usual fantastic job of illuminating issues. And one of my issues as a therapist, especially who's in the past dealt specifically with alcoholic behavior, is the single best indicator that I or anybody else, I think, in my field knows to predict future alcohol abuse is what your response was the first time you had alcohol. And you can hear of the responses we've got, there was only one that worried me, of someone saying that at 18, somebody gave them a screwdriver and they got all tingly. Think about it. My sort of rule of thumb is that for people who have problems, or it's predictive of alcohol problems in the future, they talk about their first experience with alcohol the same way the rest of us talk about our first experience with sex. Interestingly enough. Okay, keep going.
Connie says, actually, when I was young, I would have trouble sleeping, so my mom would give me a very small glass once in a while, but that was okay. But I went with my cousin to a wedding reception and got really drunk on Manhattans. That one did me in. After that, I didn't drink much. I had two alcoholic parents, and I'm very lucky that that was never my problem. I can drink a glass of wine with dinner once in a while and stop. My mom almost died of cirrhosis.
Uh-huh.
And
cirrhosis the liver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and
from drinking.
And my dad almost went nuts. I'm an only child, and it was hard. So anyway, I have gotten drunk a few times, but for the most part, I don't drink.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, that we know that the family history is certainly one of the predictors, and especially we've got both parents. So.
Mary says, when I was 12 and playing with matches, I let a small fire get away, and it turned into a real big fire in a field next to our apartments. I had the worst and only panic attack of my life. I went running home and ran into the house, a frantic mess, and was not even able to speak. I was gasping frantically, and my mom knew something was really wrong, but could not settle me down. She ended up getting the bottle of whiskey down from the shelf and had me take a pull on it. Shazam! Woohoo! That did the trick. Eventually, a giant man in fire gear came to the house and gave me the what for. I just remember he was a giant.
Doesn't tell me about future alcohol use. If I had to guess, I would guess it may be an issue. But hopefully so is you're not a match player with anymore.
Bonnie says, when I was 12, my friend Danny stole booze from his dad's liquor cabinet and picked something from the back so no one would notice. It was peppermint chaps or schnapps.
Schnapps.
Yeah, schnapps. We drank.
Which is horrible. Very sweet. Tastes horrible.
I've never had that.
Trust me.
She goes on to say, we drank the whole bottle, and when I came home that night, I ate a bunch of homemade cinnamon rolls left in the counter to cool. My sister was ticked off about the rolls, but got her revenge watching me puke the next 24 hours. Needless to say, it was a long time before I tried it again.
Well, the question is, I mean, schnapps, I think, is, it's just alcohol, it's eau de vie. I mean, it's, which is just grain alcohol. It doesn't make any difference what it's made from. And then it's flavored with, obviously, with peppermint, and it's aged for probably 10, 15 minutes. I mean, it's really, it could be very rough. I forgot that I had eau de vie in France as well, which is, eau de vie is water of life, which is any fermented grain. And it has, basically, alcohol doesn't have any flavor when, and so something is added. But adding the sweet stuff, man, I think that's the way to make sure that your kids don't drink. Like crème de menthe or peppermint schnapps, or all of them are just awful. All right, keep going.
Just a couple more here. Margaret says, high school, Friday night, rum and coke and friends. Fun, funny, and later, head over in the toilet.
Yeah. You know, your body's clearly trying to tell you something. And rum and coke, you know, I remember that. Plus, do you remember, you probably are just young enough that you probably didn't do that. What they used to tell you as you were a kid, and this was obviously a completely different attitude toward drinking than we have now, is if you dropped an aspirin in your rum and coke. Think about that for a minute. Think about how
that just
thick
sounds bad.
That you would avoid a hangover. I mean, think about it. First of all, we know that alcohol tears up your stomach lining anyway, as does aspirin. And, I mean, Coke syrup is so base. I don't know. With the things we did, we also believe that you should put iodine in baby oil and slather it all over yourself, called instant skin cancer. Yay! 855-993-7569 and Dr. Joy Brown.
Did you miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology. Trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z, 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.